This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
I'm very excited this morning to be joined down the line from his home, I believe, Mr. Eddie Wu. How are you doing, Eddie?
Hey, Sam. So good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
This year, as far as, because you are a high school teacher, first and foremost, in the world of maths, and it's been a very strange year for learning with schools going back to online learning or starting online learning. You've been doing this for years on WooTube. Has everyone been asking you for advice this year?
There have been several moments where I've had, you know, colleagues of mine, and they've said, hey, you know how you've been doing this for a little while, and you always offered to us, hey, if you want a hand, you know, trying this out in your own classroom, then we could just come and ask you for advice. And we never really took you up on it before. Well, is that open offer still there? Because it's been a need that's been all around the world, not just here in Australia. US schools are literally, as we speak, some of them are open, some of them are about to consider reopening. So it's a global issue since it is a global pandemic. And it wasn't my intent to start preparing for this 7 years ago, but it's really handy that those skills and the equipment have all been put to good use.
That's good. I mean, you've always been leading the way in so many different ways, but it has been a really hard year for students, though, and we especially Duncan and I, have been feeling very much for year 12ers as they text in, and it has been a hard year, and there's still the HSC to come. What pieces of wisdom would you have to students who are stressed about the upcoming exams, considering the year that it's been?
Yeah, it's completely understandable. And I also feel for my own year 12 students, and even, you know, thinking across the range, everyone as they come toward the end of the year, year six students as well, you know, it's sort of around my kids' age. And a lot of the normal things that we would do to celebrate the end of the year and sort of the completion of a big stage of education, of course, because of health guidelines, we aren't able to do them in exactly the same way. And I guess that's sort of got the kernel of one of my big tips for everyone who's out there trying to struggle through this year, which is honestly stressful in the best of times. And that is to remember that a huge part of learning, it happens in community. It happens together. It's one of the reasons why schools are so amazing. It's one of the reasons why lockdown has been so challenging, not just at a school level, but also just for all our relationships. So one of my big tips there, especially now, is several year 12 students finishing up their HSC trial exams. They're getting to that point where they've got everything from the last 13 years of schooling crammed into their brain all at once. My recommendation is, as they head to the end, there's a bunch of things that we normally do, you know, revise, do practice exams, all that kind of thing. My big tip is to do a lot of that learning alongside your peers. You know, I often, when I was studying at home, I would just, you know, spend half an hour, and then I'd get up and I'd walk to the fridge, and I didn't know why I was there at the fridge. I thought, how did I get here? What was the reason? And it's just because, you know, our brains, we need to be with other people in order to, so much learning is actually social. So I think that group study sessions are a really powerful way to keep motivated and also to keep your eye on the prize. So we've still got a couple of months to go, at least here in New South Wales.
That's right. That's always the positive thing to think about, isn't it? Eddie Wu, You're amazing, and not only are you a teacher, you're also a TV show host. And you're Logie nominated, right?
Yeah, though I do have great gratitude in the fact that I can wear both of those hats at the same time. So I haven't transitioned from one to the other, but it's great to be able to experience learning in both the classroom and also on the TV.
Well, let's hear a bit of the trailer of the new season of Teenage Boss.
The worst possible scenario is probably the food I'm most concerned about.
I'm just kind of freewheeling it. So we can have some pasta.
Yeah.
Another night pasta.
Two pastas,
yes. And another spaghetti.
Three pastas.
Yes, and then you have leftovers.
I'm a boss and you can't stand it. How does it taste?
Different.
Are you teaching kids how to count with pasta now, Eddie? What's going on there?
Look, that's Chelsea, who's one of our new teenage bosses in season two. And look, I think that you should learn numeracy in whatever form makes sense to you. And if that's in spaghetti, then sure. She's an athlete, so she's got a high level of carbohydrate consumption there. Though she did learn a little more balance in her diet during her month as the boss.
So what is this show about? I know there's already been one season of it that you hosted, but for those who've never seen Teenage Boss, what's your involvement and what do the teenagers get to do?
Yeah, so the premise in a sentence is that teenagers get to take over their family's budget for an entire month. And that entire month is really important. You know, if it was just a couple of days and like, oh, go get the groceries and then have enough money and you'll be fine. They wouldn't learn the same as what they'd have to after, you know, 4 weeks plus, where they have to actually expect the unexpected, you know, deal with all of these surprising bills that come up, manage their entire family's expectations. And so you ask what my role is. I'm there to, number one, introduce the experiment. A big part of that is helping the parents to calm down and say, it's all right. You're not going to eat pasta for the rest of your life. It's just a step on the journey. But also to provide that mentoring and that guidance for these really young people who have never had anything like this level of power and control in their hands, certainly on financial terms. So me supporting them through that and then hopefully getting them to a point where they can hit a savings target or a goal of some kind with their money. That's my role on the show.
Do the kids get a little bit power hungry at times, Eddie?
Oh, look, it would be dishonest of me to say, yeah, they're completely humble as they went through and were very democratic in how they handled money. They, of course, for the first time, you know, I think thinking back to when I was, you know, 13, 14 years old, we've lived our lives entirely asking for permission for stuff and not having the autonomy to make our own decisions about money. I remember having like $2 pocket money every week and thinking like, oh, what can I do with this? What kinds of things can I get at the school canteen? And so absolutely, when you put a few hundred or indeed a few thousand dollars in front of one of these teenage bosses, it certainly is a bit of a thrill to begin with.
That's awesome. Well, it is back. If you want to check it out, Teenage Boss, next Monday, the 31st of August from 6:30 on ABC Me and iView. And it's nightly, right, Eddie, this time around?
Absolutely. I think I'm really glad the audience has received the first season so well that it went from weekly to we've got five times as much Teenage Boss for everyone who wants it. And I really hope that, you know, it's 6:30, which is kind of prime time on ABC Me. I hope lots of families watch it together because it's not just for the kids. It's actually to start conversations with between parents and their children around how we spend money in everyone else's home. So I hope it's part of a family staple.
Awesome. Now, it would be wrong of us to have you on the show and to not ask you some maths questions because you are a maths teacher in high school, but, you know, one of the world's best teachers, they say. And so a couple of listeners have sent through some questions, mostly related to maths. Mm-hmm. I'll start with Loretta's question. Loretta asked this. My daughter did a Year 10 exam on logarithms yesterday. She told me there's no point learning about them because no one ever uses them in real life. But I tend to see log graphs on COVID case websites. Can you tell us the point of logs in real life?
Absolutely. So logs are super important, even though sometimes we don't realize where they are. As pointed out, we kind of think about logs at the moment in the growth of the global pandemic. A logarithm is like the opposite side of a coin to an exponential growth. So when something is going faster and faster and faster forever, we call that exponential. You might hope, for example, if you put money into a bank account and don't take any out, its interest will calculate bigger and bigger and bigger over time. So that's exponential growth. And we see the same thing in the virus at the moment when there aren't, you know, social distancing and good health guidelines in check. But logs happen in reverse. So it's when things are growing, but they're going slower and slower and slower. And the reality is actually everything that we experience, like our daily sensations, are logarithmic. I'll give you an example. If you and me, for example, were singing along to one of the songs in the break, right?
Yeah.
The volume of our voice is measured in decibels. Well, if we measured the volume of my voice singing by itself, and then we've measured the volume of you and me singing together, we're not actually twice as loud. The increase is not double. It's a bit less than that. And as you add more and more people, you know, it doesn't get triple louder, quadruple louder as you have three and four people. That increase in volume, it slows down over time. That's logarithmic. So literally your sensations, and it's the same with vision or our sensation of temperature. You know, when if something is double the temperature, does it feel twice as hot? All of that, you know, your brain is literally wired logarithmically. So even if you don't articulate it, it is there behind the scenes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. Well, we've got a question here from Ben, which I think is something we can all learn from. How do you avoid careless mistakes? What are some tips there?
Careless mistakes are the bane of every mathematics student. And I should point out, mathematician as well.
Yeah.
It's a famous thing that you've got some complicated mathematical problem and you do all of the hard, challenging things and fit it together in your brain. And then like you forget a minus sign somewhere and then everything explodes. And we have this experience in exams all the time. So as a student, I can definitely relate to that. What I would suggest is actually a bit of a renaming for us, or a recategorization. I don't call things careless mistakes anymore. What I call them is Womeos. You're like, what? Womeo? Like Womeo, but with a W. This is what it stands for. Womeo stands for working memory overload. Do you get that? Womeo, working memory overload. Psychologists talk about our working memory. It's what we have in our brain that we can hold in memory at any given time. It's generally around 5 to 7 objects. So, you know, if you meet, go to a party and you meet a bunch of people around a table, right? If there were 3 to 4 people, you'd be okay to remember their names as they introduce themselves. Once you head up 5, 6, 7, you've already forgotten the first person's name by the time you got to the 7th, right? So that's your working memory being overloaded, right? Now, this happens when we're doing maths, because mathematics, you have to keep this formula and that shape and that diagram and all this language together in your brain simultaneously. Working memory overloads sort of happen naturally. And, you know, it's a careless mistake, because you'll go back and you'll look at the exam and think, I knew how to do this question. What went wrong?
Yeah.
So how do you overcome? The short answer is something like, say, a formula. Pi r squared is one of my favorite formulas. It's the area of a circle. When you first learn that formula, it sounds like it's three things: pi, which is a number, r, which is the radius, and then squared, you have to do something to the radius. Sounds like three things, right?
Yeah.
So in your working memory, for someone who learns it the first time, it's three objects. But as you use it more and more and more, as you heard me just say it, pi r squared is just one thing in my brain now. It doesn't take up three spaces in my working memory. It just takes up one. So we don't increase our working memory, but we can get better at using it. And that comes with practice. So that's why we need to spend a lot of time developing our skills practically in mathematics.
Okay. Eddie, we're out of time. It's been so much fun this morning. But you do have a book coming out next month, and you said that you're going to come back on the show in a month's time and talk about it.
I'd be delighted to. New Children's Activity Book coming out end of September, so I'm looking forward to seeing you again, Sam.
Excellent. And Teenage Boss, of course, on your TV next Monday night on ABC Me from 6:30. Looking forward to seeing that. And one last question that's come in. How can people audition for the next season of Teenage Boss?
Oh, okay. Well, the casting call goes out across social media when it's time to roll out and start filming for a new season. Nothing is in the works just yet. I think I just recovered from filming season 2, because I was kind of working 2 jobs at the same time to film it, because I was still teaching at the same time.
Yeah.
So if and when we get to season 3, we'll make sure that people hear about it.
All right. Well, thank you, Eddie. It's been so much fun, and you have a great day at school today.
Likewise. Thanks so much, Sam. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.